magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, October 27th, 2017. Do you notice something different here, Jason? I think it's usually this way. This microphone on Thursday night, because of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, I had this stationed outside the window here. So I had like our keyboard, three keyboards doing some of the sound effects and some of the music for It's a Wonderful Life, the radio drama. We've been all month long on Tuesdays and Thursdays reviewing the script and going through all the things that'll put together this production in December. But I think we got things set, and I think saying the word exciting times is an understatement for what's been going on through this radio ministry. Mm-hmm. And Lord willing, maybe this next week I'll be able to disclose some things, but on Wednesday we had our board meeting, and we added five new board members and continued to keep five of the board members on. So now we're a board of 10, so we added Dr. Scott Klein. I think you know him.
He's in my BSF group on Monday nights.
Oh, good guy. He sings with the Singing Men for a number of years and helps out with our English conversation classes. Nancy Miller has been a great friend, dear friend, her and Jim. Jim has served on the radio board for some years back, and she teaches with the English conversation class and helps out. I'll probably have all these board members interviewed in the coming days, but we added Nancy, then Kurt Bobson, who helps out with English conversation class.
I know him well. He was in my Romans class over the summer.
Yeah, these are all...
I vetted all your people.
Yeah, that's right. And then Peggy Meyer, who attends the community event.
Peggy to come on.
Peggy's on board, and she'll have a great role. She's just a... which reminds me, today's a special dedicated day. We'll go into that in just a minute. And then last but not least, Huey Freeman, who is a dear friend and knows this radio ministry. Actually, his wife, Kate, serves as our director of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, and Huey's involved in volunteering and sings with the Singing Men when he can. And then we've retained John Jennings. He's our board chair. Dr. Paul Steins, Dr. Dave Dunn, Phil Shepard, who you know from the Moody Broadcasting Network, and then myself. So it's a group of 10, and we had two of the members on the phone lines, and the other eight were here. And we went over, you would like this, we went over our doctrinal statement.
Oh, I like that.
And so those that wonder, oh, will this new board mean changes or anything? Nope, we'll continue to hold to...
See the doctrinal statement.
Actually, I was almost going to read that. Let everyone... No, I mean, it's
rock
solid.
We believe that Mark on Monday should have ice cream.
yes. but it's kind of with your series on the Reformation. We cover the inerrancy of Scripture, that's God-breathed, that God is, you know, one in three, and Scripture verses and all that. It's tailored to the Moody Bible Institute's doctrinal statement. But I wanted to reaffirm with all the board members that this is what we stand for. These are our guiding rules and part of our bylaws and what we believe. And we'll continue to provide great God-honoring programming, traditional and sacred music, and continue to proclaim God's word. But it was an exciting meeting. I still have, look at, here's the itinerary. We covered a lot of business and a lot of the things that God's doing and future projects. And I gave them some updates, and we covered a number of items.
What does that say? You're getting massages on Wednesday?
Yeah. The hot tub for Beamer gets installed. Stu always says that. Yeah, the air conditioning, doghouse.
What is art lessons? You're taking pottery?
Professional growth. But hopefully next week, I wanted to wait till the board meeting and then get them all up to speed to announce the unique
word.
Oh,
you just can't control yourself.
Oh, it's been about a month of trying to keep this secret and not let it get out. But God,
so you just talk about it a whole bunch today, so that people will be like,
tune in this next week. Probably, maybe on Monday, we'll see. But it's a unique work. It's that passage out of... Is it in the Kings or Samuel where God's increasing the border? It's that prayer of Jabez where kind of God says, I'm going to extend your territory, and it seems... doesn't just seem. God is in the process of doing this very thing. And so I look forward to giving you all the details so you can be praying about it, get involved, and rejoice that God is allowing us to extend his influence and his authority and his power through a new means and mechanism. And it seems like it goes hand in glove with this radio ministry. So, and then the unique way how it's been all brought about. Only God could have dreamed this up. So I do look forward in the next week or two of disclosing all that. So be listening. praying and be praying that we'll continue to sense God's leading and walk in cadence with the Spirit and share that good news message of Jesus to all. So, yeah, so let's see. Anything else before I talk? Oh, so, I don't know, weeks back, an individual approached me, and they really were ministered to by Vern and Doris Meyer. Mm-hmm. And Vern had sang with the Singing Men for many years, also known as Curly, and Doris, just a sweet gem that health had been deteriorating for some time. Well, they both are now with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so anyone that knew Vern or Doris loved them, and they are survived by their two lovely daughters, Peggy and Jan, who live locally and are a part of the radio listening family. Mm. Well, anyways, this individual, I don't know if it was at Vern's memorial service, but she said, how could I dedicate a day sometime in their honor? Mm-hmm. I love their marriage. I love their testimony. I love their witness. And I said, well, let's just talk about it. Here's how we do a dedicated day. In fact, for 21 years now, it's remained the same amount, $500. Yeah. I mean, it's the same amount we charged 21 years ago.
Yeah.
We usually do a variety of radio spots and announcements and try to find out how we can use those announcements to minister to people. Maybe they're filled with scripture, testimony, or witness. And so all day long you'll hear those various spots. Joey Kroll will be announcing some of them, and we'll reference just the godly heritage that's left behind because of their witness and who they were. But one of the things about Doris, I think I've mentioned this before, she used to make homemade doggy treats for our golden retriever Beamer.
Oh, really?
And she'd bake them in her oven, and they were homemade.
Did you ever try one?
No, never tried one. Actually, I had a Jewel food store manager, and you would believe this. He used to eat them on the break. And I don't know if he did it to gross us out when we were part-timers, you know, 16, 17-year-olds. Right. He'd sit in the office, and he'd eat dog bones. But then the sad part of it, he said, I grew up, and he was left at somebody's house, and they used to feed him cat food on Triscuit crack. Oh, and it was grossing people out. But he used to eat dog bones on break, and we would sit there and marvel. Well, anyways, Beamer loved Doris's homemade dog treats. But
how do you know he was telling you the truth?
Oh, because, no, I watched him. Well, I watched
him. Right, but how do you know that he really ate the cat food on the Triscuits?
Because this guy was that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You didn't think maybe he was just pulling your leg?
No, this guy. He did have a lot of stories.
What if they were like the dog bone? Because they have those Scooby-Doo and they're like graham crackers.
No, this guy, he said that's how it was. That's the food that he was served. It was a sad story.
All right, back on track.
Bill Bronkhorst, did you ever work with him with Jewel Food Stores?
No.
He was a character. Oh, yeah.
I worked with some characters.
I learned a lot of shortcuts from him.
I worked with a lot of characters. Yeah. I don't know that I know him.
Oh,
he would have stuck out to me if I would have walked in and he was eating cat food.
Yeah. No, he didn't. He refuses to eat it now, but that's what he was served.
Did he ever like purr?
At least we digress.
Did he
more.
Purr?
No, he was.
Back to the dedicated.
So
day.
Doris had a great sense of humor. Yeah. This was one of the things
sure
that
did.
This lady remembered and was always mindful of. In fact, I think periodically they had like a dinner club or something at the house, and Doris, on two different occasions, to get a rise out of everyone, if you will, she one time created a sponge cake. And so people were excited. Oh, I heard Doris has a really great sponge cake. And she literally took a sponge and frosted over it and everything and provided that, I guess, at one of these settings. And another time, she made a carrot cake with full-size carrots in the cake. And again, it was
and
like
frosted
these spoofs.
It?
Yeah. So had a good sense of humor. And then Curly sang for many years with the Singing Men of GNN. And both of them had been on a trip to Israel, and their daughter Peggy, I think, 8 or 9 or 10 times with us. But a great family. And so the special listener that desires to remain anonymous said, just let the listeners know that a Christian that loved them very much, that attended church with them and saw them day in and day out, live out their Christian witness, and she just wanted to dedicate this day. And bless all the listeners as we recite scripture, as we have teaching and programming that draws people into a relationship with God. So we thank the special listener, and again, we have great memories of the heritage and legacy that Vern and Doris Meyer left behind, and it does to this day live on through Peggy and Jan.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Special dedicated day. Always love those and love the unique ways that you get to hear about a person's testimony and how they finished well. So, how did Moses finish? Did he finish well?
We're so far from Moses finishing well, it's crazy.
Yeah.
We're not even anywhere near that. But you know what? I think today I would rather start with Peter Sellers.
Remember Peter Sellers from the Pink Panther? He played Panther on TV. You know, dead end, dead end, dead end, dead end, dead end, dead end, dead end. Well, they say, you know, they said that people who knew Peter Sellers would say that he wasn't sure of his own identity. Hmm. That they said that he played, he was such a great character actor, and he played so many different characters that many people who knew him or who would run into him weren't sure who they were really getting. Hmm. And so once they said he was approached by a fan who said, "Are you Peter Sellers?" And Peter Sellers answered him kind of briskly. He said, "Not today." And he walked away.
Oh.
And because they say he would get into character and he would kind of stay in character. And you know what I think is interesting about Peter Sellers is I think that we oftentimes suffer from kind of the same thing that Peter Sellers do. We tend to think who we ought to be or who what we think we should be. And we play that role. And all the while we neglect who we mm-hmm. really are. You know, I think that's so important. In fact, I had a conversation with somebody this morning over coffee about that. That oftentimes we're not authentic in our Christian life because we know just enough to sound Christian, to look Christian. You know, well, if I get a big leather-bound Bible and, you know, if I have some of the pages marked, maybe if I know some of the songs, if I stand and raise my hand at appropriate parts, if I serve just enough, if I come every Sunday, I'll look like a Christian. But largely because we don't know their life, we're not in their life, we don't know who the real person actually is. We just know the role that they maybe play. I think that's one of the great things about both Doris and about Curly is that they let people into their life. And that's where you come up with all these wonderful things when it comes to the testimony time about the sponge cake and the carrot cake and those kinds of things is because people were privy to Doris's sense of humor. She didn't kind of keep that guarded away and just said, well, I'm just going to look like a perfect Christian. Because nowhere in the Bible does Jesus make a sponge cake with a real sponge. But that's one of the wonderful ways that we allow people to come into our lives and we allow people to witness who we really are. And so I think that like Peter Sellers, we tend to do the same thing. We tend to think about who we ought to be and we play that role all the while neglecting who we really were made to be. So much so, I think, that when it comes time for us to answer our calling, when God calls upon us to do something, we come up with excuses instead of obedience because we really don't know who we are. And I think, as I've said many times, we don't know whose we are. And so even the greatest men or women, I think, are prone to those kinds of things. Mm. J.C. Ryle, by way of Alistair Begg, reminds us that the best of men are men at best. I say that all the time because I love that quote. The best of men are men at best. And therefore, Moses isn't exempt. As we've talked about Moses in chapter 3, and now we're moving into chapter 4, throughout chapter 3, Moses gets called by God. And as Moses gets called by God, Moses, like us, wants to define God's calling, but on our terms.
Right.
You know, God calls us to obedience. And oftentimes, we start kicking and screaming and telling God how we think this thing ought to happen or how it ought to work. And so just by way of maybe a little bit of going through and revisiting, what did Moses see and what was happening? Well, it says in Exodus chapter 3 in verses 1 through 4, it says, "Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame and a fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, and yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, 'Moses, Moses,' he said, 'Here I am.'" This is amazing. God takes an ordinary bush and he turns it into a miracle. And this is, I think, what God wants to do with Moses and with us. You know, there's many interpretations as to what the burning bush was. Some say it was a picture of God's purposes for his people, that they are God's light in the world, persecuted but not consumed. The burning bush was a picture of what God had planned for Moses, that through God's help, Moses might not feel the heat and he would never be burned up. But here's the real meaning, I think. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 25 and 29 says, "See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven." Hmm. "At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, 'Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.'" This phrase, "not yet once more," indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that things that cannot be shaken may remain. Friends, how many times have you felt shaken? because you're operating in your own strength, and yet you are to be operating in the strength that comes not from you but from the Lord, and therefore you remain unshaken. And the Bible says, goes on, it says in Hebrews, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. If you are in Christ, you have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You have received an identity that can take a beating and cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And so God says to Moses, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. See, God assures Moses that he is the God of his fathers, of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that he has seen, that he has heard, that he knows the suffering of the Israelites in Egypt, and now that he is ready to deliver them out. He says, behold, Moses, I will send you. You will be my instrument of deliverance. And Moses goes, huh? I mean, why would God choose somebody like Moses? A washed-up shepherd, a man who was on the run, who lives in the middle of nowhere. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, I think, is one we ought to commit to memory that says, but we have this treasured in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. See, friends, you are a jar of clay. And jars of clay are awfully brittle. Jars of clay are easily broken. Jars of clay have all kinds of problems, susceptible to the elements, susceptible to everything around it. And yet, that weakness that we have is to show that the surpassing power doesn't belong to us, but it belongs to God. Mm-hmm. And so what does Moses say? How does he respond to this? I think Moses personally should have been overjoyed that God saw, heard, and was acting. And he should have submitted to God and said, here I am, please send me, I'm ready to go. But instead, like many of us, he pushes back on the Lord and begins to make excuses, trying to escape God's call on his life. I love Psalm 32 and 9. It says, be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with the bit and the bridle, or it will not stay near you. Because I think sometimes that's us. We're the horses. We're the mules. God's got to put the bit and the bridle in to get us to do what we need to do. You see, years ago when he was in Egypt, Moses acted like a wild horse and caused some trouble. He ran out ahead of God. And then he had to be tamed a little bit, so he was sent to Midian. And there in Midian, underneath Jethro and with a loving wife, he learned to sacrifice, he learned to serve, and he learned to love God. But there's still a little bit of that problem inside of him, because here now, as God's calling him, he's acting like a stubborn mule resisting God's call. And out of this, Moses gives five reasons why he couldn't accept God's call. First of all, and we probably only have time for one of these. First of all, Moses says, I'm a nobody. Now, if you're listening to this program right now, you might be thinking just that about yourself. Maybe this has been one of those seasons where you just feel marginalized, or you just somehow feel like you don't matter. And so easily I run into Christians who say to me, I'm nobody. I'm not important. You know what? You are important enough that Jesus shed his blood and died on the cross for you. I can't understand in the scope of what God did and God's sacrifice through Christ that any Christian could say to me, I'm a nobody. But that's what Moses says. Moses says, I'm a nobody. Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 through 12, he says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God says, but I will be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. You know, it reminded me of that song by the Casting Crowns. I don't know if you play it on the weekends, but the lyrics say, who am I that the eyes that see my sin should look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the seas would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. See, what Moses thought of himself or what others thought of Moses really doesn't matter. What people think about you doesn't really matter. What matters is what God thinks about you. That's what matters. This is why you need to get in and read God's Word, because God's Word is instruction for you, not only about what He thinks should happen in the world and what He has promised and what He's purposed and what He's planned, but the Bible also tells you what God thinks about you. You are precious and wonderful in his sight. He knows how many hairs are upon your head. He has counted them. And so God, like with Moses, he told Moses, he says, you're the right man for the job. And that was all the assurance that Moses needed. Had 40 years in Midian shepherding made him believe that he couldn't serve the Lord? Why was he looking at himself instead of looking to God in faith? And God says to him, I will be with you. And that, friends, is all the assurance that God's people need in order to succeed. All the assurance you need in order to succeed in whatever God has called you to do is to know that God is with you. 28 times he says it in the scriptures, and when he says it in the New Testament, Jesus from his own lips said, surely. The other 27 times, I will be with you. In the New Testament, Jesus adds, surely, and to the end of the age. Jesus says, surely, as sure as all things are, you need to know I will be with you. And by the way, there is no expiration date on that. It is till the end of the age. So if you're listening to this program and you're wondering, how will I succeed at what God has called me to do? The success has already been predetermined because God has called you to it. And therefore, friends, what you need to do is rest in the fact that Jesus says, surely I will be with you until the end of the age. And in every place where you feel like you can't stand or you don't know what to do, you need to remember that you can lean on the God who is with you as sure can be.
Well, I was just able to pull out Casting Crowns, Who Am I? And so we'll close out with that, knowing that its message will hopefully have a profound impact on you as you draw near to God and recognize you are someone important because of whose you are, a product of God Almighty, sovereign God who wanted you in this world. Here's Casting Crowns, Who Am I? Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done, not because of